motto, what he done lived in, then he'll die. Well, I'll bring it home to you. Your mama carried you in a womb 9 months. The womb got water in it and a bag. And you in there kicking. For 9 months, full of water and in a bag. Soon as you're born, put you in the same water and you'll drown, put you in a bag and you'll smoke. But yet in your mama's womb, you in there kicking in water and a bag. Got so much sense explaining that. When you plant seeds in the ground, they're upside down and sideways, but yet they grow up out the grass and out of the earth, growing straight up. Watermelons always has even numbers of stripes, 10, 12, and 16. An earthworm, if you cut him in two, you don't have no dead worms, you got two worms moving. An eel has two hearts. One beats 60 times a minute, and the other heart beats 160 times a minute. Electricity, when it's turned into one box, it freezes it and make ice. And turn it into another box, it'll cook your cornbread. I take my hand when it's cold and warm my hand, and at the same time, take my same hand and cool my same breath and cool my coffee. Same breath, warm my hand with it. Same breath, cool my hot coffee. Science said there's no way a bumblebee can move around with the weight of his body. But yet, he moves with so much speed, nothing can outdo it. There's a fish over in India that takes water and shoot it like a bullet to catch insects. The earth moves 8 different directions at one time. What all this sense that you claim you got, you can't even explain some things around you. Y'all don't know nothing about wind. Nobody here can see it, but and if you're close to me, you feel it. Now, just because you can't understand wind doesn't mean you're not going to breathe. Or you'd be dead this morning. I don't understand a car, but because I don't understand a car, I ain't gonna walk if I can ride. I don't understand how they turn on electric light, but that doesn't give me the right to sit around in the dark and say, I don't understand light, so I ain't cutting it on. Faith takes God at his word and asks no question. No matter how silly it seems to you, it works with God. Because it takes a little dab. Just a little dab. Now, I want you all to understand when it says faith moves mountains, I don't want you to think that you can go out there and talk to Stone Mountain. Because that's what you call foolish faith. Stone Mountain moves. You don't go meeting on bear doing what the one man said. He got out there and met a bear and went walking out in the jungle to meet a bear. And when he met the bear, he said, Lord, I pray that you give this bear some sense that he go on. And the bear prayed a prayer, Lord, I thank you for what we're now about to receive. Prayer meeting is all right in a prayer meeting, but not in a bear meeting. That's foolish faith. From going on talking about faith is a blind jump in the dark. No, it's not. When you jump in this dark, you're jumping on something that you know will support you. There's evidence. It's not foolish. It's not just some dogma. Faith is a reality. It's proof.
Hope you were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with Oldies and Goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Chapter 5, there is a word from the Lord. Mark chapter 5, and before I get into the message, I'm saying this at this moment in my sermonic presentation because I want this to air on the radio so that all of Alexandria, Leesville, our entire listening audience can hear it. I was blessed on yesterday to have the opportunity and the privilege to go and see one son of this church, Brother Jonathan Moore. His mother and his mother's in the choir there, Wave Sister Moore, and his dad is a deacon and he's our treasurer. He's in the back. But their son is a gifted artist. And I was blessed on yesterday because some of his artwork, his graphite work, is on display at Gallery 111, which is located in downtown Leesville. And I'm telling you, it's an awesome, beautiful, wonderful display of art. And there were only three of us up in there. Well, four, including Jonathan. And that was me and his mama and his daddy and Jonathan. Amen. And we've got to support and encourage people from this community. And that's what I mean when I say only three or four of us. I meant from this community. Amen. He has some graphite work there. And when I walked in, the curator for the I want to call it a museum, but he asked me if I knew who the representations were on the paintings. He thought I did know, but thanks be to God, I've been a few places, and so I was able to tell him. Well, this one, the first one, which is the title of the piece, is called Shadows. It's a depiction of Sherlock Holmes. And the shadows in that piece are just phenomenal. You'll have to go and see it. And I said, the second one, that is Fred Astaire, who was a great dancer back in the day. And he was shocked that I knew that that was Fred Astaire. And then the next one was Judy Garland, who was the mother of Liza Minnelli. She was Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. Amen. And then the next one, I did not know a drummer. I didn't know him, but I knew everybody else. And then there's a beautiful piece of Sister Moore's mother. And I'm talking huge pieces. I'm not talking no little bitty pieces. I'm talking as big as this pulpit, this desk. So y'all go down to 3rd Street Gallery 111 and check out the artwork by our own, amen, amen, Jonathan Moore. Let's celebrate him. He's not here, but let's just celebrate him. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. When you find it, say amen. Amen. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning as we close out this year. I want to talk from the subject, I've had enough. I've had enough. Amen. I've had enough. Thank you, ushers. The transitory human redemptive process happens when you get to a point where change is no longer voluntary, but rather mandatory. Each one of us reaches a point in our journey in life and in our journey with God where something has to change. It normally happens when you get to the point where you just can't go any further, when you have taken all that you can take. Amen. You stand and you make a conscious, cognizant decision that you've had enough. Jill Scott reached that decision a few years ago as she told Ebony Magazine about the beau she was about to marry. She discovered that her beau was starting to make her boohoo when she found out that he was tipping around with other sisters. She said, you know what? I can do bad all by myself. Jill Scott lost some 68 pounds, came out looking like Beyonce with Lanyap, because she had reached the point where she had had enough. We look at where people are now, but we don't know what they've been through to get where they are. Tyler Perry reached that point while he was living in the back seat of his car. While in the back seat of his car, he reached the point where he brushed away thoughts of suicide and decided that life was going to prosper him and that God was going to favor him, and the rest has been history. Florida Evans on the sitcom Good Times, and some of y'all are too young to remember Good Times. But for those of us who are old school like me and can remember Thelma and JJ and Michael and Florida and James Evans, you remember the episode where Florida is standing in the kitchen after James had died. She threw a punch bowl on the floor and screamed three words. She said, well, you saw it. The bottom line is, she had enough. And in one of my favorite movies, The Color Purple, Miss Seeley had had enough. I love the scene. Y'all remember, Mr. had been so mean, he'd been so trifling, so evil, so contentious, so pugnacious. I'm using these words to keep from using other words. Mr. had done horrible things to Miss Seeley, so much so that she began to adopt his mindset, began to think like him, that women should be beaten. She internalized that dysfunction so much so that she told her son Harpo to beat his wife. Y'all remember Sophia. But oh, there came a day when Miss Seeley had had enough. She'd made up in her mind that she was gonna leave with Miss Suge Avery. Y'all remember that.
And sitting there at the dinner table when she informed Mister that she was getting ready to leave, he started popping off at the mouth. And Miss Celia just snapped. That's what happens when you've had enough sometimes. You don't need, amen, you don't need the moment to be right. Do I have a witness? The moment is right now. Miss Celia reached in that ham and grabbed that butcher knife and stuck it under Mister's throat and said, I ain't never asked you for nothing. Not even your sorry beep beep hand in marriage. There comes a time when you've had enough. And as I stand here today, my brothers and sisters, on divine assignment, I submit to you that those of you sitting here this morning are in one of two categories. The first category is those of you who've seen a change since you met Jesus. You can honestly say that he has come over you and your life has never been the same. You reached a point where you were fed up and you got tired of everything, and the Lord came walking in, and when he got through with you, he gave you a new way of talking and a new way of walking and a new way of living and a new way of loving. Is there anybody who's ever been there at least one time? You got to the point where you'd had enough. You couldn't take it anymore, and you can testify today that God rescued you right from where you were. Well, if that's you, I want you to be my amen corner, because I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to this other category. I'm talking about the people who are here and you're dressed up on the outside but messed up on the inside. I came here to tell you that God specializes in dealing with people who've had enough. Y'all, that's the pain predicament of the woman in the text here in the gospel according to St. Mark. By the time we get to chapter 5 in the gospel according to St. Mark, it seems as if everything is hopeless. Because in the beginning of Mark 5, we meet a hopeless man trapped in a cemetery. He'd been there for many years, and the Bible says that he was there cutting himself with stones. Everybody else said he was just crazy. But Jesus came through a storm just for him. Oh, can I give you something to shout about this morning while I'm in my introduction? Even if the Lord has to come through a storm just for you, he will do it. That ought to be good news for somebody today. And so he's now getting ready to go and heal Jairus' daughter, but while en route to heal Jairus' daughter, who's almost dead, this woman in the text just pops up out of nowhere. She doesn't have an invitation. She wasn't supposed to be here. Jesus didn't come for her, but she said, you know what? She said, I've had enough. I've been sick 12 years. I know they don't want me near him. I know he has his entourage and security and his posse. I know there are a bunch of folk around him, but I'm not leaving till I get what I came for. This sister has an attitude that said, I've had enough. She makes her way through the crowd, grabs Jesus, the Bible says, by the hem of his garment. And the text doesn't say she got well the next day. It doesn't say that she got well the next week. It doesn't say that she got well the next month. But the Bible says she got well immediately. The Bible says that the fountain of her blood dried up. She knew something had happened. In fact, everyone was touching Jesus, but only one person got well that day. I tell your neighbor, I've had enough. I've had enough. Y'all, that's the whole sermon. That's all I really came to say. How do you know when you've had enough? Can I tell you? You know you've had enough when you realize that if you don't do something soon, it's gonna kill you. Do you know the devil wants you dead? I know you're cute, and I know your bank account is fat, and I know you got a good job and all of that, but you need to be aware of this fact: the devil wants you dead. Okay, you don't believe me? Then listen to Brother Peter. Peter says the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, if you don't believe me and if you don't believe Peter, then maybe you will believe what Jesus said. Amen. Jesus gave us a warning. He said, the thief comes, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I put it on Facebook the other day because I've been listening to these news commentators trying to psychoanalyze what happened in San Bernardino, California. But I've come by to tell somebody, you can't psychoanalyze the devil. He's just evil. If you don't believe he's evil, take the D off of his name and you will discover ain't nothing left but evil. That's all the devil is evil. And if you don't realize he is your enemy, if you've been parading around and going around the roses and not getting in your word and not letting the word get in you, it's because you don't realize you've got an enemy that wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. Is there anybody who's glad to be on the Lord's side? That devil wants you dead. And y'all, when you look at this, you see that the woman in the text is nameless. Say nameless. And whenever in Bible reading there is anonymity in the text, that means that there is inclusiveness by the writer. It simply means that if no name is given, you can put your name in there. Oh God. I don't know how you feel about it, but I thank God for a word that I can include myself in it. I thank God for the word today. And so this woman, she's at a point where she's got to do something or she will die. She's got to make a decision that she will live no matter what's going on around her, because the enemy wants her dead. And y'all, the enemy wants to kill your joy. He wants to kill your destiny. He wants to destroy your purpose. He wants to destroy your future, your life, and everything around you. But I've got good news. While he's trying to kill it, the Lord won't let him have it. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. You can't really shout until the devil has had your life in his hands and the Lord slaps him upside the head and says, put him down, put him down. You can't really praise God unless you can accept the reality that the devil had you and he was about to destroy you, but you had enough sense. You listened to mama long enough to remember that mama said, baby, when the devil gets on your trail, call on Jesus. He may not come when you want him, but won't he be on time? Give him praise in this place. So all I need is about 20 of y'all real quick who know that you didn't have to be here to tell your neighbor that God made the devil give me my life back. Somebody needs to tell somebody else that God made the devil give me my family back. God made him give me my joy back. He had me and he tried to keep me, but there is a God who made him let me go. I don't know about you, but I thank God for deliverance. I thank God for deliverance. Have you ever been delivered out of a situation you didn't know how you were going to make it? You didn't know how you were going to come out of that thing, but the Lord stepped right in the midst of your problem and made a way out of no way. And now I dare you, I double dare you, right in the midst of this message, to give God a right now praise. Tell him thank you for what he's done. Give him praise in this place. So the first thing I want you to realize is that if you don't do something, it's going to kill you. That's the first thing you need to realize. But secondly, watch what the text reveals. We've got to recognize that when all is said and done, we've got to realize that our internal issues cause external problems. Did you hear what I said? I said your internal issues can cause external problems. What you don't realize is that the person you're seated next to this morning has been through hell and high water. And since I've got the mic, let me tell their story. They've been lied on. They've been talked about and mistreated. They've gone through struggle, strain, and strife. They've seen trouble, trials, tragedy, and trauma. Have I found your role yet? They've been dropped by people who told them that they loved them and didn't mean it. They've been tricked by folk they thought they could trust. They've been stabbed in the back by folk they thought were their friends. And yet they are up in here this Sunday morning with a smile on their face, with clapping in their hands, with joy in their hearts, because they realize that after all I've been through, I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still got a praise. After all I've been through, I still have the Lord. And if I've got the Lord on my side, I come by to tell you, I can make it, I can make it, I can make it. Let me tell you, you can't see it by looking at their face. They are dressed up on the outside, but on the inside, they have been hurt. Can I ask, is there anyone in this house who knows that you've been wounded at least one good time? I need a role. I need to find a role that I can talk to someone who can truthfully testify that I've been wounded more times than I care to count. This woman, she has an internal issue. She's unclean. She's hemorrhaging. But because it's underneath, you can't see it. It's not visible. So from the outside, she looks all right. But on the inside, she's been bleeding a long time. Y'all, when I studied this text, it finally hit me. I finally figured out why some people are so jealous and so mean, why they don't want to bless anybody. Amen. I'm talking about folk, and I be looking at you. I'm looking at you. Amen. And say, shake your neighbor's hand. And I ain't shaking my neighbor. Just tell us what you want. Amen. Why I got to shake anybody? And I finally figured out why some folk are so mean and won't smile and won't praise and won't do nothing. It's because they're bleeding and don't nobody know it. Oh, yeah. There are people on every row who are bleeding. Money can fix it up. Degrees can polish it up. Stuff may mask it up. But on the inside, they're bleeding. And can I tell you a secret? God is letting it happen. I said, God is letting it happen. Do you want to know why God is letting it happen? And I know somebody's sitting there and you're looking at me and you're saying, why would a good God allow one of his children, one of his loved ones to bleed? I'm so glad you asked. The reason is God knows that wounded sheep stay close to the shepherd. There are some of y'all, if you've never been wounded, if you've never been hurt, amen, you wouldn't even pray. Come on, where are my real saints at? There are some of you, if you never had a financial problem, if you never had folk lying on you and talking about you, you would never feel compelled to get on your knees and talk to God. And so every now and then, God allows us to bleed a little because he knows that when we're wounded, we'll get up in his lap. And I don't know how you feel about it today, but I wish I could tell you that everything was well with me. I wish I could tell you that I'm one is 100, as they used to say, amen. But I have my own problems. I have trouble sometimes. I have trials sometimes. I don't feel good all the time, but I'm so glad when I'm down, I can get in my Savior's lap. Is there anybody here today who can testify I'm in his lap right now, Pastor? The only way I can smile is because I'm in his lap. The only way I can rejoice is because I'm in his lap. So we thank God today that we've got a Savior who's a healer. I said we thank God today that there's a healer in the house that's able to touch stuff that no one else is able to touch. He's able to heal stuff that even an MRI can't pick up on. There's a ministry that the church has oftentimes negated, and it is the ministry of deliverance. I said we've often neglected the ministry of deliverance. And that's why some folk come in church on Sunday with masks on. Amen. They've just gotten used to when you go to church, amen, you just got to put that smile on your face and say God bless you, you know, and say amen and praise the Lord, and you know where to lift your hands and when to lift your hands and all.